Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and thank you for joining us this evening. Happy Preparation Day. This Sabbath will commence here about 7:59, which is about 8 o'clock. So happy Preparation Day, and those that are already in the Sabbath, if you are, happy Sabbath. Let us start with a word of prayer. Kind and loving Father, we thank you for this holy day of rest. We thank you for your holy day that you have set apart, Lord, for each and every one of your creature, that we will rest from our work, our care, Lord, that we will depend upon you, that we will sit at your feet, O Father, and learn of you and commune with each other and pray and afflict our soul, Lord. May we study to show ourselves approved, Lord. May you bless us, O Lord, and we ask that you will forgive us of our sins or trespasses. May the Holy Spirit be with us, O Lord, and the heavenly angels, as they seek to look into what we're studying, they wanted to learn and help us, O Father, as they're sinless beings, O Lord. And we desire, Father, to be with you and to see the angel and to be at your feet continuously, Lord, when you soon shall come, Lord. Bless us again, protect us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. reading, this is from Steps to Christ and also SOP. And it says, the apostle kept the Bible Sabbath. Read, if we read Acts 13:14 and also Acts 13:42, it'll go deeper. Paul supported himself by tent making, and then on the Sabbath he would preach the gospel. Because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. They were tent maker, and he reasoned in a synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God amongst Acts 18:3-4 and also 11. Paul's manner was the same as Christ's custom to keep the Bible Sabbath. Paul never taught the moral law. Paul never taught that the moral law was or couldn't be set aside. It will ever govern the conduct of mankind. And the question is, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, he established the law. Romans 3:31. So we saw that the disciples, they kept the Sabbath. And Jesus was their example, and he's our example also, and that's why we're following the Bible Sabbath and not man-made Sabbath that they will be coming up with. So let us continue to trust in the Lord and continue in the faith, brothers and sisters. Amen. Please press 1 so that I can open your line again. Blessed Sabbath. I'm glad to see everyone on the line. Praise the Lord. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. And as we're starting a little late, 7:30, if my brothers and sisters can take about 5 minutes or so to give or less to give their testimony and prayer requests. As we know, we was on yesterday, and we also shared a little. Elder Richardson will be coming on, and he will be our speaker, so he will start a little early, so we just want to give him enough time and each brothers and sisters. Amen? So I will open the line for the first sister that has pressed 1. Again, please open press 1 so that I can open your line so that you'll be able to get a chance to share, my brothers and sisters. Amen? 272-770, your line is now open.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Amen. Happy Sabbath to you. God bless you.
Praise
you. Amen. Amen. I'd like to give the Lord praise and honor and thanks and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. I thank the Lord that he gave me a precious day today. I was able to go out and do some things, and I was able to place a couple of tracks out with the people, Amazing Facts tracks. And it was so wonderful. Two sisters were responsive to me, and they asked me, what church do I go to? So I left my name and number, and they called, and I gave them the address and everything to the church. And I told them that it starts tomorrow at 9:15 a.m. So God is so good. He's working everything out. And the people are really, really interested in getting closer to God because we are truly in the last days. So my dear sister, I do have some prayer requests. I would like to sing a song, if I may, asking for prayer for a sister I met yesterday at my appointment. Her name was Spirit, and she's asking for prayer. Also, another sister named Debbie, she's asking for prayer. And also prayer for Sister Elizabeth, who's in the nursing home, and she was able to come on the prayer line yesterday and give a prayer. Also praying for Sister Mary Ann. She had heart surgery, so she's in recovery now, trying to get better. And asking for prayer for every brother and sister on this precious Adventist prayer line. And asking for prayer for you too, my Sister Colleen, and your family members. I'm asking for prayer for my family and my children and my grandchildren. And prayer for Sister Stephanie and her children, and prayer for Sister Powell, prayer for Sister Leola and her husband and her children as well. Prayer for everyone on the prayer line. I'm not able to remember everybody's name. So prayer for Sister Brenda and her husband, Brother John. Prayer for Brother Rick and his daughter, Ashley, praying for every single person tonight. So I thank you so much. Blessings. And I'll be able to sing now. Sorry. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. Who yielded his life in atonement for sin. And opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the veil who truly believes that moment from Jesus' heart and receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. Further and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I may, I'd like to read Psalms. In the book of Psalms, chapter 150, verse 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts, and praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the tremble and the dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for opening my line. God bless you. I love you, my sister. I love everybody on the line. And have a blessed and happy Sabbath. Amen. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Chimika, for that song and for the Psalms. And I took your prayer request down, but the first name, what was the first name, my sister?
Oh, the first name was Spirit. I met her on the bus yesterday going to my appointment. Spirit, uh-huh.
Okay. Spirit, okay then.
Yeah, like the Spirit. And, she asked me what church did we go to. Yes, I'm so grateful that she was interested. Yes, thank you so much, sister.
Awesome. Okay, praise the Lord.
Thank you again.
Okay, again, blessed Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I'll go ahead and open the line for 225-337-4737. Your line is now open, and as Elder Richardson will go into the message early, Athol continue to do testimonies and prayer requests, brothers and sisters. So we're going to, you know, change it up a little bit because Elder Richardson will be getting on the line to speak a little earlier. He's on a different time zone and he has other plans also. So we'll be changing it up a little bit. So if you haven't pressed one and you don't get to speak in the first half, on the second half, you can press one to speak. Okay. 225-337, your line is now open. Blessed Sabbath.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. I want to thank God for the Saturday, first of all, and I want to thank him for allowing us to see this Saturday because we have gone through another week of blessings, I would say, because I'm going to tell you, you know, through traveling, through going to sleep, waking up, you know, it is God's grace that bless us to lay down and to wake up and just to get us through another whole week. So, you know, I wanted to just share. I'm going to just kind of sum up the verse that I want to share. It's talking about the treasure of the old and new. And I'm going to just sum it up with one verse, and it talks about, I'm going to just do verse 46. who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had and brought the whole field. And so if you read the scripture, you tell him he brought the field and he sold for that pearl for a great price. But I wanted to read the prophecy. This is so important to us about the Old and New Testament. And I will begin right here. It says, in this parable, Jesus presented before the disciples the responsibility of those who work it is to give to the world the light which they have received from him. The Old Testament was all scriptures then in existence, but it was not written merely for the ancients. It was for all ages, for all people. Jesus would have the teachers of this doctrine diligently search the Old Testament for the light which established his identity as the Messiah, foretold in prophecy, and revealed the nature of his mission to the world. The Old and New Testament are inseparable, for both are the teaching of Christ. The doctrine of the Jews who accept only the Old Testament is not unto salvation, since they reject the Savior whose life and ministry was fulfillment of the law and the prophecy, and the doctrine of those who discard the Old Testament is not unto salvation, but is rejected that which is directly testimonies of Christ. Skeptics begin to discounting upon the Old Testament and take but another step to deny the validating of the New Testament, and thus both are rejected. The Jews have little influence over the Christian world, showing them the importance of the commandments, including the binding law of the Sabbath, because the bringing forth of the old treasure of truth, they threw aside the new ones and the personal teaching of Jesus. On the other hand, the strongest reason why Christians failed to influence Jews to accept the teaching of Christ as the language of divine wisdom is because in bringing forth the treasure of his word, they treated with contempt the riches of the Old Testament, which are the earlier teaching of the Son of God. Through Moses, they reject the law proclaimed from Sinai and the Sabbath of the fourth commandment instituted in the Garden of Eden. But the ministry of the gospel who followed the teaching of Christ will gain a thoroughly knowledge of both Old and New Testament, that he may present them in their true light to the people, inseparable whole, the one dependent upon the illuminating the other. Thus, as Jesus instructed his disciples, they will bring forth from their treasure things new and old. And I just wanted to share that, brothers and sisters. We can use so many things in this world. Okay, bring the old and bring the new. But yet we don't take God's word for what it is. So I just want to thank God that I did some study on the Old and New Testament, and I ran across this, and I just wanted to share it. So, Sister Cole, I'm asking for prayers for the word of God to be studied, old and new, and also praying for our brothers and sisters and praying for my family also. Thank you, and also pray that the Spirit would be with us here on the prayer line tonight. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for sharing and also for reading. Yes, we will keep the, your prayer requests, unspoken prayer requests in prayer. Let me check the line to see if Elder Richardson is ready to start. And if not, we will continue. But if he's going to start now, we will finish our testimonies, prayer requests after he speaks. So just want to let my brothers and sisters know that. So let me check his line to see if he's ready. 931, Elder Richardson, are you ready to speak now, or what time would you want to start? Elder Richardson, 931-724. Your line might be muted. Can you hear me? Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to share at this time? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. God is good, and he's truly worthy to be praised. 518-951. Your line is now open. Thank you.
Okay. Amen. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. Wishing everyone a happy, blessed Sabbath. Thank God that God has spared our life to see this blessed Sabbath day. We will just offer a word of prayer. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank you that we can come to join this line this evening with our brothers and our sisters, Lord, to give you all the praise that due to you. And we just thank you for your protection. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you, dear Lord, that you have placed us here to do our work. And we know that this day is the Sabbath, and you have also gave us a message, Lord Jesus, in the Old and the New Testament combined and merged together so that we will be obedient to follow both the Old and the New Testament. So we just want to give you praise and honor for that. As we present our name, these various requests, Lord, we lift up Sister Tamiko's name, Lord, new individual, in which you know them by name, nature. You have created them, so you know their needs, and every name that you have presented, we lift them up to you. We lift up the list of brothers to Leola. Lord, we ask you, dear Father, as their desire, Lord, to trust and to serve you, Lord Jesus, and to be faithful. We ask you to keep them in their right mind and allow them, dear Lord, that they will know that your coming is near. We also lift up Sister Carla Liz, Lord, Sister Brendan, Brother John Liz, Sister Consinelli, list of names, family members, Lord, lift up my list, Lord, my names, family member, Brother Udi, and also Brother Eli, dear Lord, we lift up Sister Stephanie name, and all these names combined together in which you are in the most holy sanctuary. So we are asking you, Lord Jesus, to cover them under the blood and allow, Lord Jesus, your light to shine. And we lift up the speaker today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have been true to us and you have been faithful to us and you have been showing us and leading us in the right pathway. So we thank you. Bless the speaker and let the word that you speak, that we will all observe it and place it within our mind and our heart. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen, amen. Happy Sabbath, my dear beloved.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell. Happy Sabbath. Thank you for the prayer. Praise the Lord. He's worthy to be praised. And God is good. He's waiting upon us to praise him and to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I just spoke to Elder Richardson, so he said about 5 more minutes. I see Sister Consinelli. Would you like to testify and sing a song for us if you're able to? I'm not sure if you're able to do it, but please press 1 so that I can open your line. If this is Sister Consinelli. Not sure of your number, but if you're able to share, if you'd like to share at this time, please press 1 so that I can open your line. Amen. Okay. So I'll just read. If there's no one else who would like to share, we just have 10 more minutes and Elder Richardson will start. So I'm just thanking the Lord for his goodness, his mercy. I'm thanking him for another Sabbath that was able to assist others. You know, we ought to do service for God. We are put on this earth to do service for the Master. And I'm just thanking the Lord that I'm able to participate in doing service for him. And I would like to, if no one else would like to share, I'd just like to read, share something right. Okay, let's just check and see if anyone, if I overlook anyone that would like to share. And I'll just read this before I do a second prayer before Elder Richardson comes on. Amen. And this is also from Steps to Christ. Okay. Okay, said the Lord would have all his sons and daughters happy, peaceful, and obedient. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you. And that your joy may be full. John 14, chapter 27, also John 15, 11. And it says, happiness that is sought for selfish motive outside of the path of duty is ill-balanced, pitiful, and transitory. It passes away, and the soul is filled with loneliness and sorrow. But there is joy and satisfaction in the service of God. So in God's service, when we're doing service for God, there's joy and satisfaction. The Christian is not left to walk in uncertain path. He is not left to vain regrets and disappointment. If we do not have the pleasure of this life, we may still be joyful in looking to the life beyond. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you, you know, this life is passing away. Our Savior is soon to come. So our job now is to do the Christian service. And, you know, many are probably seeking a husband, a companion, and God said our happiness be in him and not in these external things, and he will bless us. We have to be balanced in everything we do, everything we say, and our service should be to him and to him alone. So let us be faithful unto God, my brothers and sisters. Let us take heed, because we know our Lord is soon to come, and we will have a word of prayer before I open the line for Elder Richardson. Amen. Kind and loving Father, I thank you ever so much, Lord, for your blessing. I thank you for health and strength. I thank you for keeping us through the week, Lord. We did not keep ourselves. We're not here because of chance. We're here because you have brought us through another week, oh Lord, and we're just praising you. We're just glorifying and magnifying your name, Lord. I pray for the unspoken prayer requests. I ask that you will bless each brothers and sisters, oh Lord. I ask that you will touch us, oh Father, as we listen with attentive ears, oh Father, that we will study along and that we will seek you, O Father, as we worship you in spirit and truth, O Father, that we will turn the leaf of the book to read, as you said, line upon line, here a little, there a little, Lord. Help us, O Father, to trust in you, O Father, with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind, and not to lead unto our own understanding, but in all our ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge you, O Lord, and you shall direct our path. Please bless Elder Richardson in a marked way, Lord. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, oh Father, as he bring the message, oh Lord, that he will, the Holy Spirit will guide him and teach him, oh Father. I thank you again for Sister Powell and the prayer request that she sent forth for brothers and sisters, and I just thank you for her. May you continue to bless her, Lord, and her family. May you touch each and every one of us as we're seeking happiness. It can only be found in you and your righteousness, your holiness, oh, Father. And without you, there's no peace and happiness. So we thank you ever so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for Elder Richardson, 931-724. Your line is now open.
Thank you, Sister Carter, for opening up my
amen.
Line. Yes. I feel being part of the old days when, you know, and I know, brethren, that I'll endeavor by God's grace to come on as often as possible on Advent Light Ministry prayer line, because, you know, this has been, in time past, a blessing for me, and I know I have gotten myself too preoccupied in other things, but I know by God's grace, you all pray for me that I'll give more time on Advent prayer line, and so we can come together again in being faithful and encouraging one towards another. So at this time, before I go in, I always ask the Lord to give me something. I don't like to make plans or prepare something. I say, Lord, you give me at the moment, and I'm kind of like being instant with the Lord. In the present tense, I say, Lord, give me, put upon my heart, and the Lord just does it. You know, he just does it. He do it for me in leading me and guiding me, because there is something that somebody would need that at the present would need to be encouraged, some message or in some way or the other, as the case might be. Let us pray. For those who can kneel, let us pray as we seek the Lord, as we ask him for blessing and guidance. And I want to wish everybody a happy Sabbath day, and let us all be faithful in trusting in the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we come your people as we gather on this prayer line, Advent prayer line, Lord, on this Sabbath Eve. Lord, we want to thank you for your blessings, Lord, and your mercies and your love and your goodness towards us, O Lord. Father, I ask of you, Lord, to take my mouth, take my lips, take my mind, Lord. You lead me, God, and you guide me, and you show me, Lord, what is needed, O God, tonight in the message that will lift up your people in a close relationship and in a close, Lord, experience in knowing and serving you, Lord. I want to thank you for the opportunity to minister your words. I want to thank the brethren on Advent Light Ministry. I want to thank and pray for Brother Yudi and his family, that God's blessing be upon them, O God, in a special way, be with them. And I know, Lord, you have been blessing them immensely and continue to bless them, O Lord, in a special way. And I pray for all the other brethren, O Lord, that are pioneers on this Advent Light Ministry, dear God, for many years, Sister Carla, Sister Powell, Sister Leola, Brother Rick, and all the many others, O Lord, that have come, Lord, from far, Lord, and are still holding, Father, holding up the banner, dear God, and encouraging and provoking each other into love and good works. Continue to bless each and every line, everyone that is on this line. I heard the Tamiko singing. I pray for her in a special way, Brother Eli, O Lord, and the many others, O God, that your blessings, Lord, be extended. And Lord, I pray for the outpouring of your power, of your grace upon us in a mighty special way. O Lord, I love you and I adore you. We love you and we praise you and we magnify, we adore. And we, Lord, give you all the praise, all the honor and the glory. Speak by me, through me, for me, and in me, that your name will be honored, that your name will be praised, that your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening up my line. And we are praying a special blessing tonight. And as I said, I was praying, I say, Lord, and the thought came to me, Sister Carla, I'm going to open the line for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. If anyone would like to ask me any question pertaining or concerning our faith, concerning or pertaining whatever things that are that are not clear to their minds, where doctrine, where a text that maybe they did not quite fully understood, and or something that you may not understand pertaining where you stand. Where your faith is concerned, where the doctrine is concerned, where what coming event or whatever is coming. I want to take 10 minutes and then I'll just give a little closing presentation. So, Sister Carla, open the line for I'm opening for any question that anyone will like to ask that of anything that may have been not clear to them, be it a text, be it concerning the our faith, our doctrines, our teachings, or whatever the case might be. So I open up, I ask Sister Carla to open up the line for those who would like to ask questions. So don't take long, because I just would want to have about 10 minutes. If I can answer about two or three questions by 10 minutes, then that will be a blessing. And I know there's a lot of folks have things in their minds for that they do not quite clearly understand, and if I can in whatever way bring an answer to your question, let it be so tonight for the 10 minutes. So, Sister Carla.
Amen. Okay.
Yes. Amen.
Open up the line
so
if anyone would like to ask a question, just go right ahead.
Okay. Again, this is press one if you have questions regarding the doctrine or whatever Elder Richardson just said, or text, or you know. I will go. I'm not sure if Sister Leola had her hands up for that, but this is only for a question regarding the doctrine and text in the Bible, Bible verses and stuff. So I'll go ahead and see Sister Leola and then Sister Paula, I believe. 225-337?
Yes, I understand. I have a question. And my question, good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. Brother Richardson, how's everybody?
Happy Sabbath.
My question is, you know, when our doctrine says there's a Trinity, I've always had that question. Can you answer that? Tell me about that, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to know about, because I know that it's not Trinity, three in one. So it just explains so I can do a little writing and help me out with that.
Definitely. Yes. Now, I know we have a problem, Sister Leola, with that question in our church today as I speak. I remember quite particular that when I was in Rhode Island, I used to go to fellowship sometimes at Brother Chuck's church where he would have a service. So I will go there and I'll preach there sometimes, as the case might be. There was a brother there who, I mean, has been in the church for quite a while. And he brings that to me all the time. Every time I relate to him about, he's saying that he believes in the Trinity. And I said, he's saying that the Trinity still means triune God or tree. But I said, I always will tell him, I said, every time I would explain to him that we do not use the word Trinity. That has been a Catholic wording for the Godhead. The Bible never tells us about the Trinity. It speaks about the Godhead, though. It speaks about the Godhead, it speaks about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but never speaks, and it used the term Godhead, but never, and the Godhead will also comprise of the Father, and is comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we do not use the word Trinity. It's a Catholic phrase of the Godhead, and sad to say but true, but if you look into your church hymnal, the new church hymnal, you will see that number 7, I think it's 73, I'm not quite sure, but I know it's 73 in the old. But the old church hymnal, our old church hymnal does not have Trinity, but the new church hymnal have Trinity. And as a matter of fact, they have 4 stanzas, and they use Trinity 2 times, showing that our church hymnal has been compromised. They have over a dozen of various songs that are of Catholic and charismatic nature, and the church hymnal, the new church hymnal, has been compromised, and this is why we ought not to use the word Trinity. In other and in other versions of Bibles, they do have the word Trinity, but the King James does not have Trinity. So we use this, the term or the terminology, the Godhead, which is comprised of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and which also in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus say, "Go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." He did not say baptizing them in the name of the Trinity, or as the case might be. So, and we see that even at the baptism of Christ, the Father was present, Jesus being there baptizing, and the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove, and so it was in the Bible, in the King James Version at least, you never see the word Trinity, but in the Catholic Bible they do have that phrase Trinity. So it is not a Seventh-day Adventist terminology that we ought to use. Rather, we use the terminology, the Godhead, that consists of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, sister, and I hope that answer your that what I explained to you answers to your question.
Yes, it does. I never believed that, but I want it explained clear. So you did
Yes. Well.
You did exactly what I knew, but
Amen.
I hear it so much in the church, and I have it
right. On
my, what you call that little certificate I get for baptism? It's on there, the Trinity. So I just wanted to hear the truth from someone that, you know, believe what I believe, because Godhead, I do accept that. Amen. Thank you, Brother
yes.
Rick, for that.
Thank you.
I mean, Brother Richardson.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Sister Carla, anyone else? With question or pertaining the doctrine, the faith, or anything that
yes. Is
not clear? Yes, go ahead.
Yes, Sister, I believe this is Sister Powell. So we're asking question. Yes, Sister Powell, your line
okay.
is now open.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath, Brother Richardson, and we just thank God that you was able to be, here to present the message. And this is what
yes. I
definitely want to ask as a comment, because we are facing a lot of crisis now, and there we have to be well equipped. So we want
Amen. To,
you know, as the Word of God said, there are many precious truths in the Word of God, but the truth that we are needed now is present truth. And we want
yes. To
be more equipped on this line, you know, listen to these studying of what present truths really are. We are going to see, as we have been studying the Sabbath, right? And the Sabbath
yes. Will
be assessed for the mark of the week. So we would like you to, you know, explain a little more. We know there are many precious truths, but what the flock need now is present truth. And we know we have the National Sunday Law. We also know the
yes. State
of the dead and all these things. We need it to be more clearly so that each individual is well equipped, that when they go on the battlefield, they are able to
yes. Present
these precious present truth to others. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. Thank you so much. Sister Carla, I can take two more.
I don't see any more at this time.
Do you have one, Sister Carla? Something
no,
that has been not cleared.
I should have wrote it. Not yet. I'm thinking right not off the top of my head right now, but I did during this week, but I didn't write it down. So no.
Right. Okay. All right. So what I was anticipating that I would have heard some questions, some real question tonight. But I guess I got
okay,
everybody.
Okay, there's one more.
Yes, go ahead.
Sister Simon, she put her hands up.
Cool.
Okay.
Yes.
My sister, the line is open.
Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Sabbath.
I was curious. Oh, happy Sabbath, Elder Richardson. I was curious to find out, if we're not able to get out of the city in time and move to the country, will we still be saved?
What a question. That is such an important question. If folks that are in the city does not get out to go into the country, if they are going to be saved, right? Yes?
Yeah.
All right. Now, let me say it according to how the spirit of prophecy brought it out. Now, mm-hmm. we have been warned, we have been admonished, both by the Bible. We can see that. And I just give a little synopsis of why, in the sense of when the destruction of Jerusalem that Jesus spoke about in AD 70, when he said, when you see Jerusalem come past with an army, you, as the case might be, know that it is a sign. So they that are in the field and those that are in the housetop and those and so forth and so on, that is a sign of indication to flee out of when you see the Roman army come past. Now, in AD 67, we saw Cestius, the emperor, Roman emperor, came the first siege, where he came and sieged Jerusalem, where they came around for some apparent reason, they abandoned the siege, and they just pulled away and went. And the Christian now knew that that was a sign, an indication that Jesus said that it was time for the Christian to vacate, to leave the city, or to leave Jerusalem and head to the country, or as the case might be. And we see for that 3 years, 3 years and a half or so, that the Christian had the opportunity to have leave their cities. Sister White said, "Not if you read destruction of Jerusalem," she said that not one Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem, because they knew the sign that Jesus said that it was time for them to leave when the Roman army came knocking at the door. And we see that that was an opportunity, that 3 years that they had from 67, that when Titus came in AD 70, it was when Titus came now, they had nobody could leave at all because they were surrounded. They were surrounded at all sides. So the Christian had the opportunity to have left, and they had seen the sign that Christ had said to leave when that sign, that Jesus gave that sign. And so it is with us today in comparison, that we have gotten so many indications, right, showing us that Rome, that the papacy, and I want us to understand this very clearly. This is a very important question that Sister Tamiko asked, right? We have seen the signs of the Roman army, the papacy. Now, we know that the Roman in the Roman time, in AD 70, that was the leg of the iron, right? But yet we see after the decline of Rome, and Rome fell, when Rome fell in 476 AD, right, we see that the ten divided European kingdom sprung up, the ten toes. All right, and we see there that in the defeat are what? Clay and miry clay and iron mix. So it still shows that the papal Rome now is in a sense has the same attributes and the same spirit of pagan Rome. And they have worked even from that time when they were established in 538 AD to 1798, which is called the Dark Ages, the 1260 years. So we see now that the deadly wound, right? The papacy received a deadly wound, and we know that wound will be healed in the sense where the papacy came back in power, right? Where in 1929, with Mussolini and Gasperi, that gave back the headquarters of Rome, the Vatican, to the Pope again. So that healing began from there. And we have seen it speak about eight kings, five fallen, the sixes and the seventh and so forth, and the eight is yet to come. Now, we have to understand that we have seen that this Jesuit Pope, Francis, since 2015, have made, when he became a Pope, when he came and in the sense of Pope Benedict, imagine there was just in one time, over 400 to 500 years or so, there was just two popes reigning at the same time. And we see that this Pope Francis has came and took overseer over Pope Benedict, right? Even though Pope Benedict is still alive, and it was not for a pope to come. And we see the problem that existed when those two popes, they were fighting among themselves, and all kinds of things was going on. And we see that this Pope Francis came and set up his agenda, all right? We have seen that he have came, and the Jesuits have where they have, there's no more protests, right? And I'm just bringing a point, and I'm sorry that this answer is a little bit long, but I want to show you here that we have seen Pope Francis have set up his agenda already. End of protest. No more protest when coming to the Sunday churches. But except for Seventh Adventists, the protest continues. All right? But we have seen that Pope Francis has came and set up his agenda. He have came and addressed Congress. All that was done. Yes? Right? No Pope has ever done that. So we have seen that he has come and did all this. He has brought all the world leaders together. He has brought all the religious world together, signed documents and all these things. Yes, we have seen all of that taking place by this Pope Francis. His agenda has been achieved. And this is a sign, Sister Tamiko, I'm coming to your question now. This is a sign and indication that the Roman army to papal Rome, now that is ruling, that iron mixed with clay, has their agenda to the fullest extent. And Seventh Adventist eyes should be open to the fact and to the reality that this has been past due for leaving the city. Sister White have said in Country Living, you read that little green book on Country Living and the Testimony for the Churches volumes has it. She have said since at that time that we ought to have left the cities, right? Get a little piece of land, all right? Get a piece of land for the influence that is all around where your children are concerned and where you can plant your, because she said about there'll be a problem of buying and selling very soon. And I'm coming to your question, if you're stuck in a city, if you'll be lost. Now, the point is, brethren, Sister Tamiko, that this is a wake-up call for us. The COVID-19, when it started in 2020, right? Remember in January 2020, when a little before 2020, 2019 late, when China got it and it started to go all over, came all over the world, and we have seen a little synopsis of what it is that if you are where it was a problem where people going and shopping, you had to wear masks, and people were scared to the, you know, to the utmost. There were also where some state had closed their border, even Little Rhode Island. Even Little Rhode Island, the state that I used to live, closed their border from the people that were coming in from New York. And that was a disastrous situation. That was a scary situation. That was around the time that we were anticipating of leaving. I mean, we were checking for country living since for the past 6 years, 5 years, and until we get this country property here in Tennessee. That's around the time this COVID came in. And we were unable to travel because they were stopping you at the borders of these states to make sure that you are tested and be quarantined, as the case might be. All these things was taking place. Now, people were scared out of their wit. We have seen, when I came down here to Tennessee, when I moved between that time of COVID, as the case might be, I was so glad. I got such a relief, my wife, we got such a relief that we could have come out of the city because, you know, when we were going to the shopping places, we had to be in long lines, as the case might be, and food was going short. People had to wear masks, that 6 feet and all these kind of things, brothers and sisters. That was an indication for us to flight, to leave the cities, to leave the cities. Right? And God have given us grace again. God have given us mercy. Right? The angels were about to loose. The angels were about to loose. Right. Winds. The angels were about to loose the winds. And Jesus had to say, hold. God wants to seal his people. God wants to protect his people, but we must not be in the city. We must come into the country as an outpost where we can go into the city and work and then have a country place. Right? So the question that you're asking, Sister Tamika, if you'll be lost if you're in the city, no. You wouldn't be lost, but rather, and the reason why I have to stretch this out is to show you on your question is that if those that are caught in the city when things start to turn topsy-turvy, and you are in the city, and you have, the Bible speaks about buying or selling. If you cannot buy nor sell, if you cannot buy gas, if you cannot buy house or property, then you are stuck. And it means then that many that are in the city will be imprisoned. Many will be imprisoned, right? Mm-hmm. And many will be put to death, will be put asleep. God will just permit many to go to sleep because, and that have to do also with the time of trouble, that many will not be able to go to the time of trouble, as the case might be. So God will allow many to fall asleep to death in some way or the other. But that does not say that if you're in the city, you'll be lost, but you will be going through quite a lot of turmoil and situations and all these things. And you'll have a problem of buying and selling. And how would you be able to pay your rent and be able to work, as the case might be? So the whole aspect of it is for your peace of mind, for your safety. I mean, our safety is in Christ, right? But we must not be stuck in the city. God have given us another time for us to flee, to get out. All right. So they are saying that they are closing, they are opening back now where for traveling and all these things, and it seemed like they are lifting the ban of masks and all these things. But brothers and sisters, that is just a piece of what the storm, the calm of the storm that is coming. Mm-hmm. Storm of more persecution and trials are coming. And mm-hmm. while we have this little window of door that is open for us, yes, Sister Tamiko, it is time for us as much as possible to do everything in our God-given responsibility, getting all our monies and all our things set up and put together for us to move out of the city. So, according to your question again, no, you will not be lost if you're stuck in the city, but it will be very hard if you are in the city, as the case might be, because you'll have a problem of buying and selling, and you will not be able to travel and all these things, because as Seventh Adventists, we know that we cannot buy, as the case might be. And this is why we need now to sell all what we need to sell right now, get all the money that we need to cash in, everything that we need to cash in, and to make every provision to leave the city as soon as possible.
Amen.
I know it's a long commenting on it, but I had to go way back through that experience with the destruction of Jerusalem and the Christian that had to flee Jerusalem, the besiege, and this is why we need not to be stuck or be in that city where it is, you know, it's going to be a tough time. Tougher things are coming, folks. Tougher times are coming upon God's people, and this is why. And coming to the country does not mean that you're running away and you're scared. No, you're coming to build character. You're coming to build character, and you're coming to plant. And I heard my wife telling me today that there's signs and indication that someone or somebody sent something to her stating that we need to stock up on food, and all these kind of things. So if you're in a city, it's going to be very hard for you to really rally yourself, as the case might be, to stock up on food. This is why we need to be out of this city. And Sister White said it three times, out, out, out of the city. Get out of the city. Three times. That shows how the urgency that we need to do, what we need to do, we must do it quickly. We must not linger like Lot and his family. Angels have to pull them out. The angels of God have to pull them out of Sodom, actually. And this is why God may have to pull many of us out in whatever way. But when truth comes home, when light comes to your understanding, brethren and sisters, we need to do it quickly. Don't hesitate, as the case might be. I hope that answered your question, Sister Tamiko.
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Elder Richardson. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes. And I know folks are really, really anxious to get out as quick as possible. And I know we had a few people moved out of the city, quite a few, and as the case might be. And I know that somehow God is leading me again to, you know, get back on that good foot of seeing who needs property and get things rolling again for those who need property, as the case might be. So thank you for that question, my dear sister, Tamiko. All right, so I'll just take about a few more minutes. Yes.
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 Amen. There's one more hand again.
One more hand. All right.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
Yes. Again, I'm not sure if this person heard the question. If you have any question regarding the doctrine of Seventh-day Adventists, our faith, or if you have any question regarding spirit of prophecy or Bible verses, this was your time to first one. So that Elder Richardson, which is a speaker this evening, will answer your prayer. We have quite a few on, and I see one more hand, and I'll go ahead and open the line for 614-360. Blessed Sabbath, your line is now open.
Hello. How everybody doing tonight?
Hello.
Hi.
All is one.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Loud and clear.
Okay, good. I have one comment, and then I'm going to ask two questions if it's okay, or maybe one. But I have one comment to what the sister was asking the elder about when she said that will she be lost if she's caught in the city. Well, actually, to help her to father understand that, it's scriptures in the Bible that tells you that you need to flee. You need to flee, and you don't need to be partaker of the sins of Babylon. So there's
right.
a scripture in Revelation that tells you that, yes, you actually need to get out while you can, sus. So, yes. Now that the borders
right.
are back open and things is leaning away, we need to make a way of escape now as quick as we can. So, yeah, just to help her with the comment, she was the question. That was just something
right.
I wanted to throw that the scriptures in the Bible
okay.
talks about fleeing.
Yes.
But my
yes.
question is this.
Who is
the remnant?
Who's asking the question? If I may ask the name?
What is it?
Your name? Can you give your name?
Yes.
Or
you can ask the question to me. I don't know.
No, I'm asking. All right, go
my
ahead.
My name is Elishaba.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sister Elisha. I can, you know, address you as Sister Elisha. Yes, go ahead, Sister.
Can you hear
Elisha.
Me?
I'm hearing you. Go ahead. Again, ask the question again.
Yes, Elishaba.
Yes,
and just
to the
to
question.
Let you know who I am.
Yes, and the question.
I want to know, let you know who I am. I am Elishaba. I am a prophetess of the God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, I am
all
his
right.
prophet. So, the question is this. Who is the remnant in the last days?
All right. Thank you so much, Sister Leish, for that question. Who is the remnant of the last day? All right. Now, according to... Yes. Thank you so much for your question. Now, the Bible says in Revelation 12:17, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, and I will explain... this in detail, Revelation chapter 12 and 14. Verse 17.
Yeah.
All right. So it says here, and the dragon was wroth, all right, with a woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, you ask the question, who is the remnant? Now, the remnant is the last day church that concerning 2000. Sister Carla, you can mute the lines until I... So with your question... We have to understand that in 1844, at the great disappointment, when William Miller, and of course all this is history, you can check it out, William Miller and the Millerite movement, they were anticipating Christ was coming in 1844, October 22nd. And that was the Daniel 8:14 that said, unto 2000, 300 years or days, a day in prophecy is a year, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So when the Millerites and the other pioneers and them were studying, they understood that 2,300 years began in 457 BC and was counted to where it ended in 1844 of October 22nd, until 2,300 years, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed of Daniel 8:14. Now, when the Millerites and those that were anticipating Christ coming, there were over between 50 to 100,000 people that were looking and anticipating Christ coming in the time of the great disappointment of 1844. All right? So when Christ did not come, they misunderstood, they misinterpret the scripture. They did not understand the Millerites and the other pioneers. They did not understood that Christ was moving from the holy place to the most holy place. They thought that actually Christ was coming to the earth. And this is why Revelation spoke about it shall they, where they will eat the book and it shall be sweet in their mouth, but it shall be bitter in their belly. So that was a fulfillment, that book that was eaten and it was sweet. They were anticipating Christ coming. All right? And when he did not come in 1844 of October 22nd, and I was actually there at the Millerites' place on the rock where they were standing. Many of the Millerites' brethren were waiting, and Miller was there waiting and anticipating Christ to come. And when Christ did not come, then that was called a great disappointment. And many the Christians then and there, many came out and left, as the case might be. And only 50 of the Advent time of the William Miller movement were who stood faithful. And God was able to show them that, as the case might be, that it was not his second coming to this earth, but moving from the holy place to the most holy place, where Christ opened the door to the most holy and shut the door to the holy. So Christ now has been ever since in the holy of holies as high priest in our behalf. Now, this is when Ellen G. White, E.G. White, our last day prophetess, God was able to show her visions and dreams, right, concerning the Sabbath, the seven-day Sabbath, and the disappointment of the William Miller movement, and all these things that God blessed Sister Ellen G. White. And from 1844, the church, our denomination, Seventh-day Adventist, was termed the church, as the case, the remnant church through her time from 1844. Now, I'm coming to your question, who is the remnant? Now, we have to understand that the Sabbath, the seven-day Saturday Sabbath, is the sign and the seal of God for his people. And the Sabbath is, the seven-day Saturday Sabbath, show us Seventh-day Adventists distinct and different from other Christian churches, because they don't keep Sabbath. They keep Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor of the resurrection. All right? So from 1844 to now, God has his last day church, his remnant church. Now, let me be more specific, be more clear, that I will make you to understand your question that you asked, who is the remnant. Now, because of apostasy in the church, in the true church, here we see that the majority of Seventh-day Adventists, sad to say but true, would be shaken out. There has been always from ages, from day one coming down, we see in the time of the antediluvian world, right? Millions were perish in the flood. Just eight were saved. Noah, his wife, and his three sons, and his three sons' wives. Eight were saved. We have seen the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. All right? It has been always a faithful few in spite of the major part of the body that has been always doing wrong in the sight of God. If you study, my sister, according to your question, if you study the history of Israel, you would have seen that Israel has been always rebellious against God, but there was still a faithful few amongst the children of Israel. We have seen the over plus millions that left Egypt, and only how many entered the Canaan land? Joshua, Caleb, and those that were under 21, and all the others perished for that 40 years in the wilderness. All right? So I'm just bringing up a synopsis. I'm just bringing a comparison to show you that even the last day church that has been obedient to God's law, we see here in Revelation 12:17, and I want you to understand very clearly where I'm coming from when coming to the last day church, and who is the last day church, and who God have used for our last day prophetess, Sister Ellen G. White, where God used her. She had over 3,000 visions and dreams. She wrote over thousands of manuscripts that we have all these books allotted to us as a church, as a people, that covers the entire Bible, as the case might be, where the gift of the spirit of prophecy is concerned. So in this verse 17, to answer your question, who is the last, the remnant church? And the dragon, which we can see here is Satan, according to Revelation, the same chapter 12, we can see who is the dragon. If you read verse Revelation 12:7, just back up with me in verse 7. It said, there was war in heaven. Michael, who is Christ, and his angels fought against the dragon. So here we see the dragon comes in play here with verse 17. So the dragon is Satan here, and the dragon fought and his angels. So the Satan, or let's say Lucifer, before he got his name, Satan and devil and all these things, because of transgression, he got all these attached names to him. The dragon is called Satan. We read it in verse 8 and 9, the devil. So we know that who the dragon is. So Satan was wroth or angry with the woman in prophecy. Woman represents a church, all right? So it could be either a pure church or a harlot church, which Revelation 17 speaks about. And I really want to clear this thing so you can understand who the remnant is. If you read in Revelation chapter 17, that is called the mother of harlot, Babylon, we read it right there in Revelation chapter 17, and you read Revelation, so whole Revelation, Revelation 12, and let's go to Revelation 17. I'm jumping here. This is how we need to study. Isaiah said we must study here a little, there a little, line upon line, text upon text, and so forth and so on. So in verse 5 of Revelation 17, it says, and on her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. So we see here that Babylon, here, the mother of harlots, the papacy, is referred as the false church that keeps Sunday, that is not following protocol of keeping the 7-day Saturday Sabbath. So I'm going back to Revelation 12:17 now. And the dragon, Satan, was wroth or angry with a woman or with a true church, and went to make war, listen now, with the remnant. And I want to show you what remnant means. Remnant is the last piece of whatever is left over. If you have, let's say you have a cloth, a bolt of cloth, and you start cutting pieces from that bolt of cloth to make whatever dress or whatever skirt or whatever, whatever, and you reach down to the last, piece of that bolt of cloth, that is called a remnant from that same bolt. So the church, the remnant church, which started from way back there, even the fall of Adam, when man sinned and entered, God established the true order of worship, where to bring a lamb for sacrifice. And we see Cain, who wanted to offer his own sacrifice of fruits, of vegetables and so on, and God did not accept the sacrifice of Cain, rejected his sacrifice, and accepted the sacrifice of Abel that brought a lamb. So there are two set of worshippers in our world today, in spite of the thousands of various denominations and churches. God has one true church. One true church. And he said he had other sheep, but not of this fold, the true church, the remnant. All right, I'm just building something here. I really have to emphasize on your question, because I just can't tell you who is consists of the remnant. I must give you a little history, as the case might be, to back up and show you who God's true church is, even from the beginning to the end to the last. So Abel's sacrifice was accepted. So from the line of Abel come right down to our generation. In our days, they are always keeping the commandments of God. All right, in inclusive of the seventh day Saturday Sabbath, which Jesus himself kept. Right? According to Luke 4:16, as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So Christ went to church, as his custom, every Sabbath to worship. So this is why the remnant will keep the seven-day Saturday Sabbath to the end. All right? And we must understand also that the Sabbath was not given to Jews or to the Jewish people. The Sabbath was given to man, to Adam, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1 and 3, right? When God created us, made the Sabbath, and himself rested. So God always have a true people who, down through the ages, down through history, was faithful to God in spite of the majority that were rebelling and serving other gods and worshiping false gods and so on. God always had his true remnant people. And in spite of the Jewish people that, through the ages that they were worshiping, as the case might be, yet the majority of the Jewish people were in rebellion and apostasy against God. But yet God had a faithful few. Look at all, for instance, my sister. Look at the experience. Look at the example of when Judah fell in 606 to the Babylonians. When they were taken captive, right? And there stood four prominent young men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And there we see that when that image, that golden image of 50 feet high, was set in the plain of Dura, when they were about to worship that image, those three Hebrews did not bow, right? And that showed that all the others that came to worship that image bowed. They bowed. Thousands and thousands of people came to that dedication of that image. But only three of them stood faithful. It has always been a remnant that have been faithful to God. All right? Even though there were Jewish people there also of the captivity, they bowed. The other Jewish people who were there in Babylon bowed, but the three Hebrews did not bow. All right? So we have to understand this very clearly, that even though Seventh-day Adventists, and my sister, I would like you to come on my Monday study. I do a Monday study every Monday and I'm going through some heavy duty study of prophecy at 6 o'clock. I go through heavy duty prophetic study, and if you need to get a lot of things clear to your mind, then I will, at the end of this meeting, if you like to get my number, the number for that Monday night study, please, you can ask, and I will give it to you. So, the remnant church, according to Revelation 12:17, the dragon Satan was wroth or angry with the woman, the true church, and went to make war with the remnant of a seed, the last remaining part of a seed. And know that word seed. Seed. Remember God told Abraham that I'll bless your seed, right? And it shall be as multitude as stars. And because God has the Israelite as a nation, as God's people, fail of not adhering to God's principle, we have seen that they were rejected as a people, right? They were rejected as a people in AD 34 at the stoning of Stephen, right? The stoning of Stephen, Israel was no more a people. And this is why Jesus chose the 12, 11. Judas came in on his own initiative. And we see that in spite, the church in his days rejected him. All right? So it has always been a remnant. And Christ is the promised seed of Genesis 3:15. That will come and bruise, crush Satan's head, but Satan will bruise his heel. And God's people are represented as his last day remnant or his seed, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. You know what, Sister Carla? I'm going to make this study for the night with that question, and then I will just blend it in with a question that our sister asked about a remnant. So, we understand that in Galatians chapter 3:29 says, and if ye be Christ, listen now, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, not seeds, seed, according to his the promise. So, we become spiritual Jews. We become spiritual Israelites. We become God's last day remnant. People that have the testimony, now let's read it here now, went to make war with her seed, or which is the last church, which keep the commandments of God. Who keeps all the commandments of God? Seventh-day Adventists. Sunday churches does not accept or acknowledge the commandments of God. They say the law is nailed to the cross. They say the law is nailed to the cross. They say we are not under law, but we are under grace. My friend, I went to Sunday churches. I've been a Pentecostal. I've been a Baptist. I have been a Nazarene. I went to and know all about the aspect of these Sunday churches' doctrines. Right? They don't acknowledge the Sabbath day, the 7 day Saturday Sabbath. They keep Sunday in honor of the resurrection, which Christ himself, when he died that Friday, that preparation, look at the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John Gospel, and you will see that at the end of these chapters, that when Christ crucified on the cross had to be taken down because it was preparation day, and it said he rested on the in the tomb on according to the Sabbath and resurrected the first day of the week. So even in death, Christ kept the Sabbath day. All right, he rested, even in death. All right? Now, listen to this carefully. God has chosen our last day prophetess, Ellen G. White, where she was called. She was born in Gorham, Maine. In Maine. Right? And God used her to bring about the remnant church. The last day church. With any doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, Sister Ellen G. White is our last day prophetess. We have no more prophets that will come, as the case might be. God will bring light to people. God will pour his spirit upon his people, and they shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, according to Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. So we are the last day church of over 23 plus million Seventh-day Adventists. But it's not all Seventh-day Adventists who name the name Seventh-day Adventists will be saved. This is why when it was clear, made clear to when Jesus said that when the good man of the house that planted wheat, the enemy came and sowed tears. And when the disciples said, well, why the tears is not your root of the tears, as the case might be. Jesus said, no, let both the wheat and the tares grow together until the harvest. For the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. The wheat are the true Christians. The tares are those that are amongst the Christians. So out of the many millions of Seventh-day Adventists, yet there is a remnant that has been always been faithful and true to God in all and in every circumstances. How can I prove that? How can I prove the 144,000 is a remnant? Let's go to Revelation. Now we are in our study. Now we are in our study, and let me officially pray as I again ask the Lord to bless us as we go into the study. Father God in heaven, I want to thank you, God, for your blessings, for your mercies and your grace. And Lord, I pray that you will lead and guide us in this study tonight. I pray that the question that has been asked, that it will be made clear to those that are asking the question, that it will be clear to their minds, O God, that you have established your church in these last days, dear God. And your church will always remain true and faithful. There will always be a remnant, a few that are sighing and crying for the abomination, where the majority in the church, in the Seventh-day Adventist church, there's coming a time that we call the shaking. Shaking and the sifting, O Lord. And even it is called the time of Jacob's trouble, which many are going to be shaken out. Dear God, help us to understand. Prepare our hearts. Fill us with your grace. Anoint us, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's turn to Revelation 14. Revelation 14, 1 to 5, and I'm gonna just ricochet off the question that our sister asked about the remnant. I'm led as how the Spirit leads me. Even though I did not have a study in mind in place, I know God always comes through to the extent to bring about an understanding, a clarity, a perspective of understanding truth that will make us free. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, set you free by the grace of God. And how can we know the true remnant in God's last day church? So we just read in Revelation 12:17, the dragon Satan was wrought to anger with a woman or the church, the true church, that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the testimony of Jesus, before I go to Revelation 14, let's read Revelation 19:10 first. And then you will have an understanding what the testimony of Jesus Christ is. I hope we are going to our Bibles. I hope we are going to our Bibles, folks. For we get our answers from the Bible and the Bible alone. Give me the Bible and the Bible alone. The Bible, the Word of God, and the Spirit of prophecy. Yes. Revelation 19:10, before I go into Revelation 14. Revelation 19:10, are we there? Are we there? Amen. Verse 10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. When the angels came to him, appeared to him, John fell to worship this angel. So we are Seventh-day Adventists, don't worship no angel. Verse, and it continues to say, and he said, the angel said unto me, John, see thou do it not. In other words, don't worship me. I am The angel said to John, I am your fellow servant and of your brethren that have the, no, listen carefully, the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wow. What is the testimony? The testimony of God is the what? The spirit of prophecy. Brethren, are we, did we understand what I just read there for us? What the testimony of Jesus Christ is? It is the spirit of prophecy. It is the spirit of prophecy. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully to what First Peter said, and I'll prove to show you concerning the testimony, what the testimony is. First Peter, are we there? All right. First Peter, right. Here we go. And then we'll read verse, let's go to, I want to give you this text directly, so I want us to understand what Peter is saying here, that we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we do well if we take heed thereunto as a light that shineth in a dark place. Now that is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. We have also a more sure word of what? Prophecy. We just read in Revelation 19:10 that says that the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, and it said the testimony of Jesus is the what? The spirit of prophecy. Peter says here what the prophecy here indicates. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. Now take heed of what the Bible is saying here concerning prophecy, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So the gift of prophecy to the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a light that shineth in a dark place. No other church has the light that we have as a people. We have all the spirit of prophecy that foretells the future. We know what is coming. We know what to anticipate. We are anticipating what is coming. We may not know the date nor the hour, for Christ said, no man know the day nor the hour when he will come, but we know that we as a church, God's last day remnant church, have the gift of the spirit of prophecy, which comes through our prophetess, our last day prophetess, Ellen G. White. All right? Listen carefully. And don't say for a moment, some people may say, how come you have a prophetess in your last day, in these last days? Well, if you look back at all the Old Testament era and experiences, did you know God sent prophets where no vision are the people what? Perish it, right? Is there a prophet among you? Didn't God show all his people down through the ages? He sent prophets and patriarchs? Yes, he did. He did, brethren. And without a shadow of a doubt, God sent our last day prophetess, Ellen G. White. All these churches, and let me tell you something, all these churches that you see that we have, all these thousands of denomination and churches, Sunday churches, they do have somebody that say that they brought about the Baptist church, they brought about the Pentecostal church, they brought about all these various denominations. Oh, yeah. Brothers and sisters, this is serious study here tonight. All right? I continue on 2 Peter 1:19. It says here, as the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. So you want to have light in your soul, brethren and sisters. You don't want to follow darkness. Jesus says, if the blind lead the blind, both fall in the ditch. So you don't want to be led by a blinded person, spiritually blind. And that's why Jesus said, I counsel of you to buy of me gold in the fire, tried in the fire, white raiment, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. So we want to make sure our eyes are open and our lights are shining through the spirit of prophecy and through our last day prophecies. Now listen to verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we know scriptures from Old and New Testament are considered prophecies that are related in where they were inspired by holy men, and we see that God have used our prophetess Ellen G. White to bring about the last day remnant church. Now, let us understand, let's go to Revelation 14. Let's go to Revelation 14. And I'll be concluding in less than 10 minutes. Revelation 14 and verse 1 to 5. Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. And I looked. Now, this is John on the Isle of Patmos. When he said, I looked, he's seen in vision. Right? God is showing him in vision. And lo, a lamb, and this lamb is, and I will explain as I go, a lamb, and we know it's the lamb Jesus, behold the lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus the lamb, who was slain from the foundation of the world. So this is Christ. He is seen, stood on the Mount Zion. So this is have to do in the heavenly sanctuary, Mount Zion, not here, the Mount Zion, here in Jerusalem. No. Israel as a nation is given up. They no longer are the people of God. All right? They rejected Christ. They conspired against Christ and give him over to the Roman to be crucified. So this Mount Zion had to deal, not to deal with the Jerusalem in Israel, but the Mount Zion in the most holy place. And now with him and 144,000. And I'm going to explain this very, very, very in depth, in detail. He is seeing John way in advance, way ahead of time. Because remember, when John was in the Isle of Patmos, he was talking in the first year AD, about there when Christ was crucified and between 80 and 90 AD. You're talking about John and the Isle of Patmos have seen in vision ahead the 144,000. We are speaking about a remnant from this Seventh-day Adventist church having his father's name written in their foreheads. The father's name is his character. The glory of God is shrouded amongst and upon this 144,000, right? Written in their forehead mean in their minds they have accepted and received the Holy Spirit. They have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Verse 2. And I heard, apart from seeing, he said, now he heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters. That is Jesus' voice speaking. And as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harp. And we must understand that this thundering and this voice, we know that when Moses was around and about the mount there, when God came down in the pillar of clouds and fire and spoke there, as the case might be, there was thundering and lightning. So this is the very presence of he's seeing Jesus in the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary where he is as high priest officiating. He's hearing voices. He's hearing thundering. That's the power of the voice of Jesus. Right? Verse 3. And they sung. Who they? The 144,000 sung. And that song have to mean that experiences that they, and I include myself as part and parcel of 144,000 in these last days called Remnant Church, right? It's a new song, a new experience. It's going to be a testimony of what they are going through during the time of Jacob's trouble. No one can learn that song. No one can have been through the experience, so to speak. All right? And this is what verse 3 is bringing out. And the song, as it were, a new song, a new experience in their going through the time of Jacob's trouble. Before the throne and before the four beasts, those are angels that are ministering there, and the elders, the 24 elders, those that were resurrected during the time when Christ resurrected, over 500 and plus was resurrected with Christ and went up and officiated as elders there with him in the heavenly sanctuary. Now, listen to what it says. And no man could learn that song. Why no man could not have learned that song? No man could, no man have gone through the experience, the 104, read 144,000, please include yourself, that will be going through the time of Jacob's trouble, brethren and sisters. That will mean then it will be a time never experienced in any historical past almost 6,000 years. It's a time that we call a time of Jacob's trouble that Daniel speaks about in Daniel 12:1. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And 144,000 will be going to the time of Jacob's trouble, as the case might be. That will be an experience that no one has ever been through and will ever go through. So that will be an experience that they will be going through by the grace of God. And they will be sealed, of course. Sealed not to sin. Sealed to live a holy life. Sealed to live a righteous life. Sealed to give the loud cry of the fourth angel of Revelation 18, that the earth that will be lightened up with the glory of God, that will be the 144,000, given the message with such power. In the Greek, word that power we get is called dunamis, that we get a word dynamite, that is powerful, that when you blow things up with dynamite, it blows to the extent, makes noise, it blows things away. So the power of the Holy Spirit in your life will blow away everything that is not like unto God, will blow away everything that is satanic, will blow everything away that is hypocritical, will blow everything away that is not in right relationship with God. This is the experience the 144,000 will be going through in the time of Jacob's trouble, such as never. These are they that are going to be redeemed from the earth. What does that mean redeemed? It means then that they will not die the physical death. They are represented as Enoch, who was translated, as Elijah, who was translated, brethren and sisters. The 144,000 will go through that experience of being redeemed. Remember, the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, boy, am I the Lord blessing me to bring this message. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive, that is the redeemed which are alive, the 144,000, which will not taste death, but will experience the experience of this mortal, will turn, change into immortality, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51 to 57. Read that carefully. That says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but in a moment, we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. That is, and that will be the 144th experience of translation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, with this body of the 144,000 will be changed into that glorious body. Hallelujah. Plus a multitude that will be coming out, the other sheep, that when the fourth angel gave power to the third angel, when the redeemed, the 144,000, will receive the unction of the appointment of the latter rain, brethren and sisters, the loud cry then will be given. This earth will be lightened up, according to Revelation 18, verse 1 to 4. And the gospel of the third angel will go, calling those that are in Babylon to come out of my people, that they receive not of a plagues, the seven last plagues, and many other sheep. I have, Jesus said, but not of this fold. They are going to come out. The multitude that no man can number will join with God's remnant. And here comes part of your other question, my sister, concerning the remnant. Those multitudes will be coming out, according to Revelation, will be coming out, and they will make up the universal church of Christ. Other sheep that will be coming out by the thousand, by the millions, plus the 144,000, God's remnant people, those that are crying and sighing for the abomination, those that are lifting their voice like a trumpet, those that are on the walls of Zion, sounding the alarm in God's holy mountain. And as I close up on this note, in verse 4 says, as I close on this note, verse 4 and 5, these are they, the 144,000, which were not defiled with women. So the 144,000, brethren and sisters, are not defiled with the false doctrine of Babylon, of the false churches, of the apostate Protestant churches that keep Sunday. We were not defiled by their doctrines. And this is why the true doctrine that we teach is now, brethren and sisters, the message that Jesus has given us, the third angel's message, to call those that are out of Babylon, those that are worshiping the mother of harlot, the papacy, and those fallen churches, they are going to come out, God's church, true people, join with God. Last day, 144, remnant, Seventh-day Adventists, preaching the last day, third angel's message. Oh, my Lord, Jesus, these are they which, verse 4, were not defiled with women, not defiled with doctrine, for they are virgins, the five wise virgins. Hallelujah. We stood faithful to God. We stood contrite, and we loving to Jesus, serving him and him alone. Listen carefully as I close up. These are they which, the 144,000, the remnant, God's last day church, says here, they are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. You know why the 144,000 will follow the Lamb wheresoever he's going? Because they are fallen, thus said the Lord. They are not fallen Babylon. They are not fallen the teaching for worshiping and vain doctrines of men. We are fallen the scriptures, the word of God, by the grace of God, the unadulterated truth as it is in Jesus. These are they which follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These are the 144,000 were redeemed from among men. Here comes it. Here comes it, my sister, with your last question. Being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. The 144,000, God's remnant church, that are keeping the commandments of God. All of them, inclusive of the fourth commandment that said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seven-day Saturday Sabbath, the remnant are going to uphold and keep and follow the Lamb in every aspect. And finally, in verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, no hypocrisy, not anything that is of harsh words or words that are filthy will be coming out of the 144,000's mouth, for they are without faults, perfect, righteous, and holy before the throne of God. And when you read verse 6 and 12, it will show you the message the 144, God's remnant church, will have to give to those to come out of Babylon. And verse 12 says, here's the patience now of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God. There it goes again. the whole Ten Commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank God that God reminded me of something that just came right to my mind, that we all need to strive to be part of the 144,000. Yes, God is going to put many of us to sleep, many of his people to sleep, but that does not say you'll be lost. Because the time of trouble, brothers and sisters, if we are not praying, if we are not spending, according to Desire of Ages, page 183, third paragraph, if we are not spending a 12-full hour each day in contemplation of Christ, of his death and his in everything like that, if we do not spend time in surrendering and committing and witnessing for God and in crying and sighing for the abomination, we will not be able to make it to heaven. Brethren and sisters, I pray and I hope that each and every one of us are ready by the grace of God. Not this morning while I was praying, I was saying, Lord, I don't want to be prepared. I want to be ready right now. I don't want to be preparing to be ready. No, I want to be ready now. Here and now, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Revelation 3:18. Behold, I stand at your door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him, and he with me. This is no time for us to be playing church. This is no time to be fooling around and believing that you're all good and right. This is no time for us. We need to be on the bandwagon. We need to be on building on Christ, the solid rock. We need to stand with God's true remnant church that keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We need, brethren and sisters, that I close in prayer, to believe in our last day prophetess, Sister Ellen G. White, who God have used in a mighty way to bring about the last day crisis messages to prepare us for the coming crisis. I pray then that each and every one of us in our hearts will be ready to meet our Lord when he comes. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I know we have lingered a little bit, but God, you have revealed to me tonight some important truths, Lord, that your flock had needed, O Lord. Even the very questions that have been asked, O God. Lord, you have led me, Lord, to bring a message in with a question that have been, even in that last question that our sister asked about the remnant. God, I want to thank you for your revelation. And I pray and I hope that our sister will understand what I endeavor to explain to her, dear God. And I call out things by its right name, Lord, because if we do not and are not grounded in the truth and believe the truth, Lord, alone that can set us free, dear God, we are in serious trouble. I pray that my sister, I did overhear her said about her being a prophetess or something like that. I hope that she understand, dear God, that there's no other prophetess apart from the last day prophetess Ellen G. White. And I hope she understand this, dear God, that you have spoken tonight in relationship according to your words, dear God, that you have called this church from since 1844. Use Sister Ellen G. White to bring about the truth that we believe, our pioneers. And God, I am endeavoring by your grace to stand and to call sin by its right name, to be one, a voice crying in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his way straight, dear God. I pray for each and every heart, Lord. Humble us as the Spirit has spoken to us. May we not fight against you, dear God, but may we accept the truth that will make us free, a truth that will set us free, truth, Lord, that will bring light and truth to our understanding to prepare us, Lord, for the coming crisis and the deception that Satan is implementing in these last days. Bless each and every one. Fill us with your grace. Anoint us, Holy Spirit, and let your name be honored. Let your name be praised. Let your name be glorified. We thank you for this day of rest and gladness, and may we all have a good night. We thank you in your precious name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Elder Richardson, again, for that powerful message. Praise the Lord. We all need to be striving to be amongst 144,000 brothers and sisters, and it was a powerful message. And you can also read Acts of the Apostle, page 379.1, and also 535.2, and also Acts of the Apostle, paragraph 590.2-4, and CET, which is Christian Experience and Teaching, 102.2, paragraph 102.2. So what a blessing to hear again the message of the 144,000 and the remnant, which we all should be striving to be amongst. We know the Lord is soon to come, and we ought to be preparing, brothers and sisters, and crying aloud, fear not, and telling the people of Christ returning and getting our house in order. I thank you again for joining us. I know there were other questions, but by saying
call the books, the books that you just called one more time. Call it over for
Amen.
Those who were writing slow. Call it one more time.
Okay. Amen. Amen. Yes, and I just wanted to let my brothers and sisters know next Sabbath evening we will be here again, those that didn't get to answer their question, ask their question. Again, the book was Acts of the Apostle, paragraph 379.1, so paragraph 5.
Page? Page, Sister Carla? I think Sister Carla went up. Sister Carla? Your phone cut off? Sister Carla? I think Sister Carla cut off. Sister Powell, Sister Leola? Can you all come on and host? Sister Carla just cut off. Sister Carla? Sister Carla? Sister Carla?